We've got a new survey out from Public Policy Polling with new numbers in the few days heading up to the election. And to talk about these numbers, we're joined on the phone by Tom Jensen, who is the director of Public Policy Polling. Tom, thanks for being with us today.
Hey, Aaron, good to be with you.
So let's start with the six constitutional amendments, because this has been drawing a lot of attention locally and statewide. We had a survey a little while ago before early voting began and really before the campaigning began on these amendments that showed pretty solid support for all six. But this survey is out now with the numbers leading up to the election, and that has changed at least on a couple of amendments. So what are we seeing now in terms of the numbers?
Well, one big picture thing we're seeing that's very interesting is, first of all, support for all six of the amendments has declined by a good bit from where it was 3 months ago when they first got put on the ballot. And the second piece of that that I think is particularly interesting is that there's considerably greater opposition to the amendments among people who have already voted than those who have not yet voted. And what that suggests to me is that the more information voters are getting about the amendments, the more skeptical they're getting of them. So two of them at this point look like they're almost definitely going to fail. The one that changes the process by which judicial vacancies are filled, giving the legislature more power and taking that power away from the governor. Only 29% of voters support that amendment, 43% are opposed to it. And then among people who have already voted, only 28% supported it and 61% opposed it. So it's really getting blown out among voters who have had to do the research to go ahead and cast their ballots. And it's a similar story with the amendment that establishes a bipartisan board of ethics and elections enforcement in the Constitution. Only 32% of voters support that, 40% are opposed. That's relatively closely divided, but when you look at the people who have already voted, only 28% ended up deciding to vote for that, 60% voted against it. So both of those amendments look like they're most likely going to fail. I think the one that is going to be the closest on election night is probably the tax cap. It still has decent support. We find 50% of voters in favor of it, 32% opposed. But to put that into some context, when we polled it in August, it had 65% support and 14% opposition. So it's gone from being ahead by 51 points to only being ahead by 18 points. The trajectory is very strongly moving against it. And on that one also, among people who have already voted, 45% supported it, but 49% opposed it. So there's some evidence that voters become even more skeptical of it once they actually have to sit down and research everything and decide how they're going to vote. You know, if you're up 50 to 32, you'd still rather be at the 50 than the 32. But I think because there's been so much movement overall and because people who have already voted have decided to vote against it, there's at least some chance that that one could end up failing as well.
And then the other three, the voter ID amendment, Marcy's Law, which is the Victims' Rights Amendment, and the Hunting and Fishing Rights Amendment, those three also seem to be kind of moving in the direction of opposition, but still with pretty widespread support, right?
Yeah, all of these ones have really seen their support decline since the summer as well, but they also still have anywhere from 57 to 59% support, which feels like it's enough of a buffer that they should probably pass, even if momentum keeps moving against them. Voter ID, 57% of voters support it, 34% are opposed to it. When we polled it over the summer, there was 65% support and 25% opposition. So it's gone from being ahead by 40 to only being ahead by 23, still a pretty healthy margin, though. Although, again, among people who have already voted, 44% supported voter ID, 53% opposed it. So some momentum against it there. The Marcy's Law Crime Victim Rights Amendment, as it's referenced on the ballot, 59% of voters support it, only 27% are opposed. In August, there was 75% support and 9% opposition, so it's gone from being ahead by 66 to only being ahead by 32. But this is the only one that people who have already voted actually did support it, 52% in favor, 44% in opposition. So I think there's a good chance that's going to end up being the one that gets the strongest support. And then hunting and fishing amendment, the very irrelevant one out of this crew, 57% support, 30% opposition.
And on those three, it looks like the vast majority of people have already made up their minds one way or the other. For those first three, the income tax cap, and then those other two amendments in particular, where the legislature is trying to take power from the governor's office, the judicial vacancies, and the Board of Elections, for those two amendments in particular, it looks like there's a pretty sizable percentage of North Carolinians who still haven't made up their minds or don't know what they're going to do or haven't thought about it at all yet. So just from what we've seen in the past for undecided voters in the last few days of the election, where do they tend to break when it comes to voting up or down on things like this?
They tend to break towards no. That has sort of been the historic trend, is that if people see something on the ballot and they're not really familiar with it or don't really know about it, they're more likely to end up voting no than yes. That's definitely like the big picture thing that's happened. But one thing that's a reality about these particular amendments in North Carolina is that they sound really good if you don't know anything further in the context about them. And that was reflected in those initial polls that we did on all of these amendments over the summer when they had the support in the 60s and 70s, was that if you don't really understand what they're going to do and haven't heard a lot about it, they are things that are going to come off sounding good. And then as it turns out, the more that you know about these, the less likely you are to support them. But if there's a lot of people just going to the polls and seeing it on their ballot and knowing nothing about it, I think they may end up voting yes on some of these because they sort of sound good in a vacuum. So I feel like there's some potential for that to offset the normal trend you see of people voting no if they don't know what they're voting on.
Speaking with Tom Jensen, publicpolicypolling.com is the website if you want more information about numbers statewide and nationally. We're talking about this new survey that has just been released about the North Carolina election and what's on the ballot. We've been talking about the state constitutional amendments. Let's turn to the General Assembly. No polls on specific state House and Senate races here, but we do have the generic ballot. Would you vote for a Democrat or a Republican? What was the finding here?
Democrats have a 3-point advantage on that generic ballot question, 46 to 43. That's really pretty consistent with what we've found over the course of the entire cycle. We've generally had Democrats up by about 5 points on that question, give or take a couple points. And what that sort of means in the grand picture is that Democrats probably pick up a decent number of seats in the state House and Senate, but certainly not enough where they would actually think about being able to get a majority in either chamber. And something we've talked about a lot is that there's just so many close races this year. There's not very many races that I look at on the legislative map and say, oh, Democrats are definitely going to pick that up. The Republican incumbent's doomed. There's not a lot that really fall into that category. But there's really a couple dozen that are sort of within the 5 points one way or the other range, including 5 legislative seats just in Wake County that really look like Democrats have a good chance to pick them up. But it's somewhere between a 45 and 55% chance of picking them up. It's not ones where they're so far ahead that it's like 80% chance they're going to get this kind of thing. So I think there's a wide range of outcomes for what we're going to see happen with the legislature on Tuesday.
In terms of potentially the Democrats picking up enough seats at least to eliminate that veto-proof majority that the GOP has had in the House and the Senate, how confident are you that that's going to happen?
I think it's more likely to happen than not. I'd say I think there's like a 60% chance, but there just is a potential that Democrats could end up having a good year sort of statewide and in the overall scheme, but lose all of these Republican gerrymandered districts by 1 point. Because all of these districts that Democrats have a chance to win this year across the state that are so close are districts where they were never supposed to have a chance to win. I mean, these are districts that were drawn up for Republicans to have a 6 or 7 point advantage, and now Democrats are having a really strong year that has the potential to offset a lot of that advantage. But, you know, you could end up with a situation where Democrats lose all these seats that they were supposed to lose by 7 by 1, and in some ways that is indicative of a strong Democratic year, but you don't actually end up picking up that many seats. So get out the vote efforts here in this final weekend are going to be huge in determining for a lot of these close legislative races, whether the Democrat wins 51-49 or whether the Republican incumbent wins 51-49.
And speaking of statewide races that are looking really close, let's turn to the judicial races. We've got that one seat on the state Supreme Court that everyone's been following really closely, but a few key races on the state Court of Appeals as well. Those are going to be extremely important too. So where do things stand there?
Well, two of the statewide judicial races, there's two Democrats and one Republican. So those will go about the way you would expect them to. In the Supreme Court race, Democrat Anita Earls has 37%. The Republican incumbent, Barbara Jackson, has 23%. And the other Republican candidate, Chris Anglin, has 14%. So it's 37-37 if you look at it just as straight D versus R. But this is one where the Republicans' efforts to mess around with how judicial elections are done in the state has actually backfired on them. And then it's a similar story in one of the Court of Appeals races. The Democrat Toby Hampson has 36%. One of the Republicans, Jefferson Griffin, has 24%. And the other Republican, Sandra Alice Ray, has 16%. So in that race, the Republicans are actually getting more support than the Democrat 40-36. But again, there's two Republicans and only one Democrat, so that's looking good for Democrats. The two Court of Appeals races where there's just one Democrat and one Republican are looking like toss-ups. And one of them, Democrat John Arrowood, is getting 40% to 36% for the Republican candidate Andrew Heath, but 24% of voters are undecided, so that could certainly still go either way. And then the really close one is the Republican Chuck Kitchens getting 36%, the Democrat Allegra Catherine Collins is getting 35%, and the Libertarian Michael Monaco Sr. is getting 8%, 20% undecided in that one. But certainly those last two Court of Appeals races could go either way, given how close they are and how many voters are still undecided.
So that's where things stand in terms of the races that are going to appear on the ballot. Let's talk about crosstabs a little bit. You mentioned the difference, and there's a pretty significant one between people who have already voted early versus people who haven't voted yet. What about the difference in age? I'm seeing a pretty big difference in terms of where younger voters are going versus older voters, and then people kind of middle-aged categories are sort of making up that difference in the middle. But where are you seeing the most interesting things there?
Well, certainly a big generational split. In a couple of those close Court of Appeals races, the Democrat is up by double digits with voters under 30, and then losing by close to double digits with seniors. So one thing that's going to be really key, I think, for Democratic hopes of having a sweep on the ballot on Tuesday is getting out more young voters than usually come out in a midterm election. And certainly that's happening to some extent so far, but I think Democrats will hope for that trend to continue. So far in early vote, I think the median age of the people who have voted so far is pushing pretty close to 60. So I think that Democrats certainly would be in better shape if that moved more down towards 50 as the early voting period wraps up.
And then thinking about independent voters, I know Democrats typically have a numerical advantage over Republicans, but in North Carolina, and we've talked about this, independent voters have a tendency to skew more Republican than Democrat. Is that also the case this year, or are we seeing movements as far as that goes?
It's really pretty close in the statewide races, and then in a lot of the key legislative races, we know that unaffiliated voters are really skewing strongly towards the Democrats this year, particularly in the more suburban areas of the state. It's basically a situation. What unaffiliated voters do is they tend to be unhappy with both the Democrats and the Republicans, which is why they're unaffiliated. So then whichever side is in power at any given time, unaffiliated voters tend to just vote against that side that's in power. So unaffiliated voters have more often than not skewed Republican in North Carolina, and I think did in the last two election cycles. But this year they should be a lot more strong for Democrats than they have been, because unaffiliateds do have just sort of an across-the-board kick-the-bums-out mentality, and this time around the Republicans are the bums at pretty much every level of government.
I'm speaking with Tom Jensen of Public Policy Polling. We're talking about this new survey that is just out of North Carolina voters. After all of that, taking a look at the overall survey and what you're seeing in terms of the results, what's your number one takeaway?
Just that, you know, it is going to be a very close election in the state. Early voting turnout's been through the roof, and people usually think of high turnout as being really good for Democrats, but really there's been pretty exceptional turnout, especially for the blue moon election cycle that you referenced, among both Democrats and Republicans. So I think my big takeaway is that if you care about this election, go out this weekend and do whatever you can to get out the vote for your side, because a lot of these races, especially when you get down to the legislative level, are really going to be determined by just a handful of votes.
PublicPolicyPolling.com for more info from Public Policy Polling. You can also find them on Twitter at PPP Polls. Tom Jensen, thank you so much.
Thanks, Aaron. Take care.